Christmas movies. Today we're not talking exclusively about Christmas movies and actually mostly going to be talking about baking, holiday baking. And joining me today is Katie Barsotti. She's a writer for The New Yorker and McSweeney's, and she's also my teammate on Parliament.
Hi! Welcome, Katie. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, did I pronounce your last name right?
You did. You nailed it.
So I guess first, because the podcast is about movies, mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about like what your Christmas movie traditions are. Do you have any must-watch?
Yeah, my mom's favorite Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. So we always watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Is there a point in the season where you watch that?
Usually, I mean, when my sister and I are both home. Mm-hmm. So like honestly pretty close to Christmas, we'll watch it. And then I love Elf. I always feel like I have to watch Elf. And that happens pretty early in the Christmas season.
Right.
I think I watched it over Thanksgiving this year, actually.
Yeah, I did too.
It's just so funny.
Yeah.
It still, like, makes me laugh very hard.
It is. It's so great in that way of not all movies that are funny, that you found funny the first time watching.
Hold up.
Yeah.
It's also just so simple. Like, it's just like guy who doesn't know what's going on in a big city.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fun.
Just like pure joy.
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah. It's so nice. I also love, there's like kind of like plot issues, I think, in Elf. Like if you really interrogate it, like the random, like the evil LA or New York police horses.
Oh, yeah.
That have been on the naughty list. That kind of gets dropped in at the last
Rangers,
minute. Because I think there's so little conflict that they're like, but it's kind of funny. It like feels like they're making fun of like a structure of a Christmas movie. So it's fun.
Yeah, it does feel very self-aware those moments.
And then I usually watch like a bad Netflix/Lifetime one, but I don't have like a favorite.
Gotcha.
Like my roommate and I just watched The Night Before Christmas, Night with a K.
Okay.
Very bad. Okay. Vanessa Hudgens.
All right.
Highly recommend if that's your style.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever watched one all the way through. We had a friend over a little while ago, Jake and Jess Jorgensen. Jake's a clickhole writer. He's on one of my improv teams, but the two of them watched one recently, and I don't know what the whole thing was, but they were trying to like do this big event, big sale before Christmas. They were raising money for something, and he was trying to sell just this like plastic crap basically, and this girl was making fun of him, but then she comes upon like a drawing that he's done, and she was like, "What's this?" And he was like, "Oh." And she's like, this could fetch a price. And it's literally like, it looks like a 10-year-old's drawing of like a stick figure Santa crawling up a chimney. It's just like, it's very funny. Very fun.
That's something I've talked about with people, which I feel like it happens a lot in Christmas movies. But when a writer writes like art into a movie, like someone is good at art. And so like the writer has to write like Miss Maisel, the writer has to write like good, genuine stand-up jokes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like Squizzer, you have to like write a poem or insert that a like person is good at singing or something. It's so funny to have to see that executed.
Yeah.
And art is one of them where it's like, I don't know, some props guy was like, shit, we used to have art.
It's so fun because I guess they probably film in Los Angeles. I don't know where they film.
Yeah.
But anyway, wherever they are, there is a good artist around.
Definitely.
That they could pay, you know, probably not too much money. Yeah,
$100 maybe, tops.
Yeah, to do a good drawing that would catch this woman's eye and not be like, didn't you draw this?
Not like the PA on the day of being like, oh no.
Yeah. Like, hopefully, like, don't focus on it, don't focus on it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but those are very fun. Do you have any others? Are there others in your family where they're a must-watch?
I'm trying to think. We were never a Christmas Story family.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like is a classic.
Yeah, definitely. Do you do like extended family stuff on Christmas Day?
You know, we don't have any extended family where I grew up. So it's like, we have family friends who all have kids around my age who also don't have family in town.
Okay.
So we all do Christmas stuff together.
Oh, that's
and there's
nice.
Like a lot of like table games
and
it has evolved as we've gotten older into drinking games. Mm-hmm. So we do like flip cup, which is like sometimes a lot on Christmas. A long day. We also do to like kind of go into holiday baking. Mm-hmm. I like we do like breakfast, obviously, on Christmas morning. And we used to, my dentist, we were family friends with our dentist, and he used to make monkey bread and leave it on our doorstep. And he would do that, like, at some point in the middle of December, you'd, like, open your door and there'd be, like, a tinfoil brick of monkey bread on your doorstep. And he stopped doing it. So I started making these Swedish cardamom buns that are really good. And I like to, like, do, like, a fun Christmas morning baking thing.
Like, and, like, do the rounds, go to everyone's houses, and do you do the thing where you drop it at the door and...
Oh, I only do it for our house.
I was like, how many of these are you making?
I wish I did that. I could not. It'd be exhausting. Yeah. Just for our house.
Right. Yeah. It is fun. I always, when I'm baking, I have grand ambitions like that of, like, I'm going to make it for everyone and have, like, a... Yeah. Do, like, a special kind of thing, and then it's always, like, you do one round or one batch of something, and then it's like, okay,
you're like sweating.
Yeah, it's been like 4 hours, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Well, I started, we're gonna get into baking. I started doing, so I like don't have enough money to give all my friends presents. That's just too hard. So I like to do a bunch of cookies, and then I was like, oh, I always give my boss cookies. There's like two writers on the show I work on who have like kind of mentored me, so I was like, I want to give them some cookies. And then I was like, okay, so Fred, and I had this whole list, and so last night I baked like 70 cookies.
Oh my goodness.
And then I was looking at it today and I was like, this isn't enough cookies.
Oh no.
So I need to like really go double it down. Wow. But it's a lot. It gets tough. And then when I go home, my mom loves to like overpromise to friends the baked goods that will be delivered. And so I have to bake a lot, and I have very grand ambitions. My dad is like the best sous chef. He'll be like, what can I do? He cleans up after me. It's the best. Great. But my mom like hates a messy kitchen. So she's promised all these baked goods, and then she's like, oh my God, everything. And I'm like, you need to leave. Like, go to a movie or something. Because like, I don't know how to do this without making a mess.
This is the consequence of your of your promises to people. That's very funny. So going back to Christmas movies just for a little bit before we get too into it. So it sounds like your family doesn't really go to like movies on Christmas Day, to the movie theater.
Oh, not really. I guess sometimes, but we're usually like cooking for Christmas dinner because we don't do like a big Christmas Eve dinner.
Okay.
We'll like go to a party and then go to like 10 p.m. mass or whatever.
Okay.
And then we do a big dinner Christmas Eve or Christmas Day with all of our friends. So we're usually like cooking or doing something. And so we'll like watch something at home. But then the next day, Boxing Day is our movie day for sure.
Do you have any like specific memories of like, we went to this movie or this movie?
I feel like I never really remember because it's always such a compromise, whatever movie you pick.
Right.
It's always like one of those middle of the road.
Like feel good.
Like, or just like, like I remember American Hustle, I think was a Christmas movie one year. And I was like, okay, sure.
Right,
I guess we're seeing that like Ford versus Ferrari might be on the list this year. You know what I mean?
Makes sense,
where it's like, none of us is super excited about it.
Right.
Or like two of us are super excited and none of the other two aren't.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to remember any other specifics. I don't have any specific memories of it because it feels like a way to like fill the hours.
Right.
But then we'll go to, there's this like one nice hotel in my hometown, the Davenport, and they have like a really pretty Christmas display. So we'll like go to like dinner there afterwards to like see all the Christmas stuff before it gets taken down.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do they keep it up through like January 1st?
I feel like they must.
Yeah.
Or, like, at least a little bit before January 1st, because they also do a big, like, New Year's thing there.
Oh, I see.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's, like, gingerbread houses and trees and...
That's very cool.
Yeah.
We have in my hometown, it's called the Walkway of Lights. It's just, like, a huge, like, so long a Christmas display of lights. It's exactly what it sounds like. But, like, there's, like, the 12 days of Christmas, like, all spread out in lights. And there's a field of dinosaurs. It's very like mixed bag of Christmas light type things. Like I think there's Old Man Winter and just like very different. Like every college in the state has a light display.
I love that.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Last year, I like kind of like to try to find like a fun Christmassy thing to do in LA. I haven't had time this year at all. But last year, I got two friends, Sarah Volman and Alice Bevington.
Okay.
And I was like, I found this thing. It's like, they're showing Christmas movies and it's in like Pasadena, I want to say. And it's where they have, like, old Victorian houses. Okay. I don't know if you have been here. What is it called? There's, like, a Pioneer Square, okay. I think, is what okay. it's called. And it's this weird place where they've, like, brought Victorian houses. Like, there are these okay. historical homes that were going to get taken down, so they, like, picked them up and moved them. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, 5 historical homes.
Okay.
And we paid, like, $25 or $30, like, kind of too much. And it was, like, the promises were a bunch of food trucks.
Okay.
A like, walkway of lights for Instagram. they would be showing Christmas movies, and there was a loop of them. They were going to do, like, the animated Grinch and, like, probably Elf or mm-hmm. Christmas Story, like, classics. Mm-hmm. And then caroling
oh.
and, like, a hot chocolate stand. And, like, each of the houses would be decorated for Christmas. So wow. we get there. Mm-hmm. It's very weird. It's, like, kind of by the river. So it, like, feels, like, very out of place.
Okay.
And then the quote-unquote walkway of lights was, uh-huh. like, kind of, like, arches with those, like, LED lights on it. Or, like, the tubing kind of lights. Oh, if that okay. makes
yes,
sense.
Yes, yes, yes. I know exactly what you're
And it looked very underwhelming. Oh,
no. Not Instagram worthy.
We were like, I was like, not that that's what I was, like, right. drawn to. But, like, God, if we're paying $30, we might as well right. get a nice photo. And it looked so bad. And then we went into, like, one of the houses. And, like, there was a guy in there who, like, maybe worked there, maybe was just in costume. But his no. costume, like, he was like, my costume's not period appropriate for the home. And we were like, okay. It was, like, very odd. And they weren't really decorated. Mm. There was no room to sit to watch the movies. The food trucks were, like, there were, like, 3. And the one that poor Sarah went to, this woman was, like, sneezing while, like, no. making her food. It was just the strangest situation. Wow. And we walked into the house where they were doing caroling, and it was just us and, like, the 2 people caroling. And it
two
was
people caroling.
Too scary to, like, leave, but too scary to stay.
Oh, my
it was
goodness.
Insane.
I was wondering, like, I had some questions while you were telling that. Like, wait, who is caroling? Are
it's,
people...
like, people in, they had people in, like, period dress.
I see.
And they were doing their best. It was, like, a guy on the piano, and then I think they were expecting us to all be the kind of the voices of the mm-hmm. group. But it was too uncomfortable to stand in a well-lit, like, parlor room singing with strangers. If there had been, like, a bunch of people right. there, I think it would have been fine.
Yeah. But definitely not something, oh my goodness.
It was yeah, really wild.
And when you said something about the guy in costume, I was like, oh, like a Santa outfit or an
no, 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 no. It was like a Civil War costume.
Okay.
Costume, I guess. Uniform. Wow. He was very strange. Also, like, there's, like, 5 or 6 houses there and only, like, 2 that you could go into. It's
oh,
like,
really?
What are we doing? What have I done?
Oh, man. I feel like there are things in LA like that where it's like, here's something cool to do.
Yeah.
Like, here's, like, a citywide art exhibit where you, like, bounce around to the different...
Yeah.
And it can be fun in spite of, it's like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fun in spite of whatever it is, but it's always a little bit like, what? No one's here. Like, what?
Yeah, and they're never as thought out as you want them to be.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when the, like, Museum of Ice Cream was a thing?
Yes.
I was like, I love ice cream. I would love to learn about the history of ice cream. Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. And mm-hmm. everyone's pictures look great. Then I asked someone, I was like, so what are the exhibits like? And they were like, oh, it's just like different places to take photos. Oh. And I was so mad. And since then, all those other museums, like Museum of Color, Museum yeah. of like Selfies is one on Hollywood mm-hmm. Boulevard. All of them are just places to take pictures,
yeah.
which is fine. Like, do your thing. But I was like, I don't want to,
yeah.
I'm not paying that right. much money to take some pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just go into the woods or something.
Yeah.
That's another place people take pictures.
find a damn mural in
yeah.
LA.
Yeah, they're around. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
But
I've
yeah.
never ended up at one of those, I think, for that reason.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
always
a line. There's
yeah.
nothing to it. I feel like around the holidays, LA has all sorts of pop-ups. And it's like some
yeah.
of them, I'm sure, are amazing. And mm-hmm. then some of them are like, someone was like, this is a good idea. We're going to do the bare minimum.
Yeah. So would you say that Elf is your favorite?
I think Elf is my favorite.
Yeah. I think Elf is my favorite, too.
Weirdly, someone mentioned this the other day. I think the Grinch is also one of my favorites. The
yeah.
live-action one.
The live-action one,
it's, like,
really?
Kind of fun and silly.
Okay.
I, like, forgot about it, but it's fun and silly.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love a lot of... I guess I like the claymation ones. Those are
yeah.
always fun, and they have, like, so much texture and, like, mm-hmm. I love little details.
Did you watch Santa Claus is Coming to Town? No, no, not Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Yes.
Yes.
Great.
With Snow Miser and Heat Miser.
Love Snow Miser and Heat Miser. Yeah. Great song.
Yeah, it is. It's very fun.
I feel like all of those movies kind of blend together for me. Like, until you said the one with Snow Miser and Heat Miser, right. I was like, oh, that's right. I remember. Like, is that the one with the Burgermeister?
No, that is the first one I said.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town, where he, it's the story of how he became Santa Claus.
Yes, how he became.
That's right.
And yeah. And it's then, very strange. There's a winter warlock that...
Yes. Oh, my God. And he has to teach him how to walk.
Yeah, just one foot in front of the other.
So they all, like, kind of blend together in my head in kind of a lovely, like, impression. Right. Also, like, I had a memory of, like, a Frosty the Snowman that was claymation, but it's not. It's just, like, kind of a classic in the same style. Yeah. Not style, but, like, vein, I guess.
Realm. Yeah. Yeah, of, like, those ones you watched when you were a kid that are always playing on TV.
Like, on TV, yeah.
And it's funny watching them, because especially, like, A Year Without a Santa Claus is one that I love. But they all have just the weirdest storylines.
They are really, like, very 70s. Like, very, like, strange and, like, Frosty complicated.
Frosty seems so straightforward. Like, he gets a magic hat and then turns into a live snowman. But there's this whole thing of, like, getting him back, I think, to the North Pole before he
before
melts.
Oh, before he melts. That's
and
right.
The
and they put him on the
wants
train.
His hat back. It's like an evil magician.
Yeah.
And then he, like, ends up at a in a greenhouse.
Oh, yeah. I remember this. Starts melting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Dark.
Yeah.
I also did love, like, Rudolph is a great one because I just love that Elf wants to be a dentist. Like, that concept is so funny to me.
Yeah.
So fun.
It's also very fun of, like, I don't know, like, the misfits finding each
misfit
other.
Misfit Toys is so cute and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is, like, a whole movie just of people who are a little out of place.
Yeah, and it's so precious. Yeah. There's, like, song about how they're, like, none of them fit in.
Yeah, and then they
so
all
cute.
Find their homes. It's very nice.
It's so perfect.
Yep.
Heartwarming.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we can start talking about baking now.
Let's get into it.
Yes. So what are your... You already said that you bake cookies for your friends.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of cookies? You brought cookies.
I did
here.
Bring cookies. I do kind of like, this is my workhorse cookie. It's like just a sugar cookie. Mm-hmm. I don't like super hard sugar cookies. Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of a softer one. Okay. And I just do a really simple icing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do stars and then I lost my star cutters and I found these like circular cutters.
Okay.
I like doing different sizes because I think that's fun.
It is fun.
Because you're like, maybe I want a small one today. Yeah. Maybe I want a big one. And these are like what I do for when I'm making like 70 or whatever, because they're really easy.
Yeah.
It's like butter, sugar, flour, vanilla, and like easy to decorate and look nice. And I don't really do like, I'm not a great decorator, so I need like a simple thing.
Yeah.
So these ones I tried the Bon Appetit tie-dye.
Nice.
They're a little bit more marbled than tie-dye.
Uh-huh.
But I usually just do either that or, like, a simple, like, one color, dip it, make it look kind of classic, simple. That's, like, my... And that's not my favorite to eat, but I think it's, like, a good one. It, like, is very Christmassy.
Yeah.
And then let's see. I always try to do, like, a fun one, especially when I'm home and, like, my parents buy the ingredients. You know what I mean?
Because
that's, like, the real barrier to entry is, like, buying the ingredients. So, like, last year I did these... they were s'more Linzer cookies, so it was like graham cracker cookie, and then sandwiched with like a marshmallowy fluff kind of thing, drizzled in chocolate, and they were like so good. I love to do like a chocolate crinkle cookie.
Yes.
I think that's a good one, and it's very easy to get a gluten-free recipe for that without doing gluten-free flour, and I have a few friends who are gluten intolerant.
Oh, nice. I mean, not nice, but nice that you accomplished.
Yeah, and it's nice. I like the ones that are like gluten-free just because they don't have flour rather than trying to buy another flour. I think that's like my baking tip is to like try to have overlapping ingredients so you're not buying like a whole bottle of corn syrup for a tablespoon.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one was good. I also like Smitten Kitchen is like one of my favorite places to find recipes.
Okay.
She's great and she has these like really soft pillowy sugar cookies that are like, you know, I found them because I was trying to find, you know, those cookies you get at the grocery store that are like sugar cookies with a bunch of frosting on it.
Yes.
Very pillowy, and yes, they have almost a chemical-y taste.
Yes,
and you're
exactly
like, how would I ever recreate this? So yeah, I found this recipe looking for that, and it's totally different, way better. Has a bunch of sprinkles on it, and so you can put like Christmas sprinkles on it, and it looks very festive. I just like to like mix it up with like texture and flavor. And I've been like, literally today I was brainstorming what my cookies are going to be this year.
Wow.
There's a really delicious looking mint one from Bon Appetit.
Okay.
They have, their holiday cookie guide is out. Mm-hmm. And then New York Times Cooking also just released their cookie guide. And they have like homemade Pocky, which I thought would be fun because it's like a different shape.
Yeah.
I think that's the key. And then I also want to recommend everyone look at, there's this baker, Cloudy Kitchen, on Instagram. And she makes cookie boxes. So she gets just like a plywood box that's probably like 8x12 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then makes little compartments and like fills each one with little different cookies. And some of it's like candy or whatever. And I just like think it's nice to have like different textures and sizes and tastes.
Yeah.
For your like little gift cookie boxes.
Yeah, that's great.
But I mostly do like my, you know, massive baking marathon at my parents' house because they have a huge island and like just space and two ovens. And
yeah, that is very nice. It is, space is limited.
Very, yes. Yeah. And yeah, particularly in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I have a bigger kitchen than I did last year. Mm-hmm. Last year I maybe had like 1.5 by 1.5 of counter space. And
it's,
I was
tough,
trying my best.
It's tough.
It is hard.
I have like a very narrow counter. So I have like a lot of it, but it's narrow. So it's like hard to like roll out cookie dough.
Yeah.
I managed yesterday somehow. My kitchen was a mess. My poor roommate was like, oh. you made some cookies. These meringues are beautiful.
Yes, I made some meringues, Christmas tree meringues. Maybe I'll post them when I post the podcast. But yeah, I told you already, but I tried to make them last year again in my old kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
The oven, the lowest temperature on that oven was 325. And I thought, I'll just cook them for a shorter amount of time. Did not work at all. They were burnt in 5 minutes because they bake at 225 for an hour.
Right, because it's mostly about drying them out rather than... I will say that's something I feel like I've learned more like baking science from like Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
Like the idea that... And like also I'm obsessed with Bon Appetit's YouTube videos.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
Okay.
Gourmet Makes with Claire Saffitz is, like, so fun. She, like, takes junk food and tries to, like, recreate them in a kitchen.
Hmm.
And she never makes recipes that are, like, repeatable because it's, like, you have to find, like, weird stuff. But she does, and on they do this in Great British Bake Off as well. They'll drop some knowledge where you're like, oh, I never knew why I was doing that. I just followed the instructions.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more I bake and the more I, like, watch baking stuff, I learn the why of stuff, which, like, helps troubleshoot. Because that's the worst when you're like, my dough's wet, what do I do?
Yeah.
And, like, Chris Morocco, a Bon Appetit baker, he has my favorite chocolate chip cookie recipe. BA's best chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
And I picked up the tip that he browns like 3/4 of his butter, but not all of it. Because
that's what Test Kitchen does too.
Yes. Yeah. Because if you brown all of it, it gets rid of the water content and makes it drier. And I was like,
oh that's right. Because it's sort of like,
because it, it like kind of burns out the water. So you add the like not melted, not browned butter back in to like add liquid back in basically, or like water, moisture. And then he also lets it, you don't have to rest your dough overnight or for an hour or anything, which is, like, the best because that's the worst when you're like, I just wanted to have cookies now.
Yeah.
But he was like, rest it for 5 minutes if it looks too wet because it gives the dough time to hydrate. And I was like, oh, I had no idea.
Huh. That's great advice.
It's great advice.
It's funny because I use the Test Kitchen's Perfect Cookie book and I love it. And when I first got it, I was like, I'm going to do, like, one recipe every week. And then I abandoned that.
I would love to do that adventure with you, by the way.
Yeah, that would be so fun. I would definitely pick it up again. It was just a matter of, like, I don't know.
Time,
like,
and ingredients.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Yeah. That and sounds like a web series for us to make.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, guys. Get ready. Preview.
I would do that in the new year.
Yeah. Actually, let's just do it in the new year.
We should do it.
Yeah. But, yeah, so doing Test Kitchen chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And I love their Perfect chocolate mm-hmm. chip cookies. But there are times where I'm like, I know this is going to come out flat as a pancake because yeah. it's like too liquidy.
Yeah.
And then I'm always like, did I not add enough flour? What happened
here? Yeah.
But it is good to know. It's like if you just let it
sit. Sometimes you let it sit. Sometimes you like add a touch more flour because it all depends on like the moisture in the air too. Like that's the thing about baking. That's so crazy. Mm-hmm. Which you really, Claire Saffitz really gets into. She's like a pastry chef.
Okay.
So she like knows her stuff. And baking is so temperamental. So, yeah. like, some recipes, I'm like, you just have to do it 100 times before you, like, get good at it. And yeah. remember the one that worked and remember why it worked.
Why, yeah.
And sometimes you can do everything right and it's still... Yeah. Or, like, baking soda and baking powder are activated by your wet ingredients, which okay. is why you mix it up beforehand, usually. Mm-hmm. But if you, like, activate it and then for some of them, if you wait too long to bake, mm-hmm. it can, like, throw it off, which is why there's time. It's, like, very interesting baking stuff.
Baking is so interesting because I like cooking, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they do feel so separate.
They're very different. Yeah.
Of, like, I would never or haven't yet tried, like, my own recipe for a cookie.
Yes.
Because I know that I couldn't do it. I can, like, half a recipe that.
Yes. Yeah.
But certainly with cooking, you can be like, oh, like, here's, like.
These are flavors I like. Yeah. I could totally. I have a friend who, we moved to LA together, and she is an agent. And I remember mm-hmm. we were living in LA, like, my first year out here, and she was like, you should start, like, a baking blog because mm-hmm. you, like, that's a good way for you to, like, get yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, because I can't invent my own recipes. Like, because I don't think I know the science well enough to come up with proportions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you, to be, like, a really, like, next level baker, mm-hmm. you have to have all your, like, base recipes mentally down. Like, on, like, British Bake Off, for example,
mm-hmm.
when they have to do the technicals and they're like, oh, make a Victoria sponge. Got it. And they just mm-hmm. know what a Victoria, and, like, a creme pat, they know how to make those off the top of their head.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah.
I feel like, started to get to a stage where I'm like, I kind of know what things should look like.
Yeah.
So, and I've started to be able to like troubleshoot when they don't look like they do.
Mm.
But like at most, I'm like, I added peppermint flavoring to a chocolate cookie.
Yeah.
Or like I added cinnamon and cayenne to a chocolate cookie.
Right.
Like nothing like insane.
Yeah. It's like you still have that base recipe.
Base.
And I guess that's the whole thing. It's like you have to have the base recipe. You can't really change it because like you said, baking is so precise.
Yes.
So temperamental. It's funny with the meringues too. I don't think I've ever actually had a meringue, so I don't know.
Oh, like what it's supposed to
look like.
Be like, yeah.
And
I mean, they look beautiful. They're glossy on the outside, which is what they should look like. The meringues are tough too, because sometimes they weep and sometimes they're just very temperamental.
Yeah, and well, my very first, because I told you I burnt the second. That was the second batch that I tried.
No.
The first batch that I tried never like, because it was like the recipe said something about wait till it foams and then start adding sugar stuff. And I, like, at the first bubble, I was like, good enough for me. And, like, tossed the sugar in and it was just like, oh, there's nothing happening here.
There's some stuff, like, when I was first learning how to, like, brown butter,
mm-hmm.
it says when it foams and then the foam dies down, that's when it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
But it does bubble for a long time before it foams. So the first time you do it, you're like, is that it? Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that? And then the foam happens and you're like, that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
Who knew?
Yeah. And then they always give you like the time, like 1 to 3 minutes.
Oh, it always is longer for me, no matter what.
Yeah. And then I'm like 3 minutes, I'm at 3 to 5 minutes and I'm like, well, what has happened here? What have I done?
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
Complicated.
Yeah. Do you have any plans for like Christmas Day baking this year? Any recipes you want to try? Or
I think I might do the Swedish buns again because they were a real hit mm-hmm. with my family. But I like to do like, you know, like a breakfasty kind of pastry, like a maybe I'll do like a cinnamon roll or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And then my mom will always be like, hey, we're going to Lisa's house. She wants you to bring dessert.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? This year for Thanksgiving, she did that. She was like, hey, someone's already bringing pies, but Stacy wants you to make an individual dessert for everyone. And I was like,
oh my
that's
goodness.
So, such a strange parameter to
for
give
how
me.
How many people?
30.
Oh, wow.
So I made mini pies. And I did flavors that I was like, we won't get a big pie version of this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a fun way to try a pie flavor without like, we won't have the big one. So I did a bourbon pecan.
Nice.
A caramel, ginger caramel pear, and an apple cranberry.
Wow.
And actually, those I kind of freestyled, but I feel like pie filling is like cooking anyways. It's like you can just like, as long as you cook it a little bit so that it's not hard.
Right. Yeah, you can improvise a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite out of that bunch?
The pear ginger caramel was my favorite. Yeah. I was like very excited to try it. It's a Cloudy Kitchen again. She has a recipe for like a regular size pear ginger caramel pie. Okay. So I just like made the filling from that and cut up the pears a little smaller. Truly, mini pies were like shockingly easier than I expected.
Okay.
Because although I was like, I'm going to do mini pies. And then I started researching like how to do it. And all of them were like, this is harder than you
Good
think.
Luck.
I was like, no. But it wasn't bad. It was just, you know, make a pie dough. I used muffin tins, which made it even easier.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, that seems like, it seems doable.
You do have to cook them for way longer than you think because it's so wet and so concentrated.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Probably you don't want soggy bottom.
No, no soggy bottoms, as we learn in Great British baking. I love Great British baking, but I feel like a little bit of a poser because I've only ever watched the seasons that are on Netflix where Sue and Mel are
That's hosting. Totally fair.
Yeah.
That's not a poser. That's almost a purist, I would say. The new hosts are fine. They're good. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I do like Prue as the new Mary Berry, and she's actually pretty great. I like her.
Okay.
I grow to hate Paul more and more every season. I think he's smarmy and rude. And I had a theory, an unfounded theory, that he gives handshakes to men more. And I don't know if it's true. And I'm sure someone's like, there's a very easy way for you to find out if it's true. But in my heart, I feel it's true.
Yeah.
But I think the new seasons are like more gimmicky. Like there was like a finale challenge where they had to like make pita bread over a fire outside. And I was like, That's not a thing.
No.
That's, bakers shouldn't know how to do that.
No, there's no reason.
Or they like want to do like, their showstoppers are like insane now and not real things. Like they're like, make a cookie chandelier. Mm. One of the bakers was like, I looked this up when I was home and I couldn't find anything on it. It's not a thing.
Oh, like, yeah.
So you're like, well, how do you expect them to like invent a new way to do a thing that's not really baking?
It's interesting that whoever is running the show or whatever is like, we need something new and fresh and exciting. It's like, we don't.
We just want lovely British people baking.
Yeah, trying their hardest.
Yes.
At hard recipes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What are you baking this year?
So I made I really like making cookies because they're easy.
I also think they're the perfect dessert.
Yeah.
Like a cupcake is too much. Mm-hmm. Cake is like a whole thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfect party dessert because it's like single serving, really easy. You can have multiple cookies and not feel like you're missing out. Because when there's pie, you're like, I guess I all have two small slices or whatever.
It feels like you have to sort of like build up your energy to go get a slice of pie. It's like that's
also it's like another course if you're having a pie. With a cookie, you're like, it's like
it's
a snack.
A
it's like just a cookie. It's just fun.
Yeah, they get eaten up immediately.
Yeah.
But I will probably, I made a good, again, from Perfect Cookie, the Test Kitchen, a peppermint mocha cookie.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it has coffee in it. It actually doesn't have any eggs, which surprised me when I made it, but very good.
Mm-hmm.
With like a peppermint icing and like crushed peppermints on top.
Yum.
It's great.
That sounds great. Also love a crushed peppermint on top. It's like it's the easiest decoration in the world and it looks so classy and pretty.
Yeah. And I was worried the first time I did it. I was like, oh, is it going to be like too like, people are going to be like crunching like hard on it. But it's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
They're small enough pieces. And then I'll help my dad make bourbon balls for sure.
Yum.
And let's see. We always do, it's been a tradition since I was as very, very young where my mom makes a batch of sugar cookies and icing and then hands it over to us. And we just roll it, like cut. We have like 1,000 different shapes. We all, Andrew's included now.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we cut it and she bakes them. And then when that's done, we all ice them. And
that's so fun.
Yeah. It all starts out like very elaborate.
Us and then hard. You're just like.
And then like by the end, it's like icing sprinkles.
Get them out.
Like, as fast as we can. which is very fun. And I don't know that I'll be too much more ambitious than just some, like, mm-hmm. a few cookies this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always try to find, like, one, like, very ambitious, like, we'll see if this works yeah. recipe. And my poor family has to, like, follow along and be like, what do you need us to do? And yeah. I'm like, just let me bake. I feel like I look like a crazy person, like, the one day I choose to bake. Yeah. I'm like, everyone stay out of the kitchen.
Right? This is my space now.
Yeah. Covered in flour.
Yeah.
I'm also, like, I think a very messy baker, mm-hmm. which is not a good habit.
Yeah.
But I just am like, I just need to live. Mm-hmm. I started, this is another Bon Appetit tip, mm-hmm. and it felt crazy at first, but it actually is surprisingly helpful. You, it's called mise en place, and okay. you get all your ingredients together, and I use like a baking tray, mm-hmm. and you measure it all out
okay.
before you start baking. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it made it so much easier, because I feel like, there's one the recipe I like for chocolate chip cookies, I always miss the part where it said add vanilla. It's in there. It says it. I might even have the vanilla out, but I kept forgetting to add the vanilla, and it's, like, not at the end of the world.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, as long as the vanilla's on the tray, because that's harder to pre-measure,
right.
I will make sure it's done.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really a game changer. It's also a game changer for keeping things clean, because yeah. you keep it all in the tray.
Right. It's all right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I go through waves of... Because you can do it. You can, like, get out your ingredient and then put it right back.
Yes, yes.
You can, like, scoop the flour, wipe the counter, like, toss it, mm-hmm. and then, like, it's all contained in the bowl. And so I'm good about it for, like, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, I'm back to just, like, chaos after. It's like I have the bowl of cookie dough and then everything is out. There's flour everywhere, like you said.
I also feel like I keep... being like, okay, I have an hour, I can make cookies, which, like, I can't. I think I'm kind of a slow baker, and I need to actually take my time to do it. Mm-hmm. An hour is enough time to make cookies, but not for me. And I'll leave a mess, and, like, my poor roommate will be like, and now I have to shower, I'm running late, and the cookies are, like, she's always like, Jesus. Like, can you just watch the oven?
You're like, sorry. I'm like, oh, I promise that I'll take care of it later.
I'm, like, very good at time management every other part of my life, except for, I think, like, baking.
Yeah, I'm with you, too, of, like, I can get it done. Like,
yeah.
What, like,
7 minutes in the oven?
Yeah.
They'll come together in, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Never.
Yeah, no. Especially because, yeah, every single recipe is, like, okay... You know, like, whisk for 30 seconds, let it rest for, like, 30 minutes. Whisk for 30 seconds. I don't know what that's about, but I follow it religiously.
I think part of it is the hydration.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, yesterday I tried to make these Alison Roman cookies that I've made before. They're tiny, salty, chocolatey cookies. Mm-hmm. And something happened. I did it wrong somehow. Mm-hmm. I think I didn't let the butter cool. And they turned out badly. And I was just like, well, I just wasted time. I wanted to do it fast, and instead I just, like, wasted time.
Right. Yeah, it's hard. And I feel whenever somebody's coming over, like, well, I can't just be here empty-handed. We've got to have something.
I have that, too.
Yeah.
And when I go over to someone's house, I mean, as evidenced by you made meringues and I brought cookies, and we'll have Parliament over at my house this Sunday, and I know I'm going to, like... bake something in a panic, and, like, the last time you guys came over, I did the same thing. I, like, spent the whole day, like, cleaning my house. I have a clean house. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have had to do the whole thing. And I was a maniac. Yeah. I was like, what if everyone's hungry? Should I make food?
Yeah. And it's never enough to just, like, I'll just pick up, like, something from the store.
First, I don't know why. It's funny because if someone did that when I was coming to their house, they're like, I bought some chips and whatever. Yeah. I'd be like, wow, thank you. That's so nice.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, no, that's so lazy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's like, I have to show them that I really care. Yeah. Homemade from scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't ever think that I'd be a person who always has the ingredients on hand to make chocolate chip cookies. But anytime the occasion calls, I have the ingredients to make chocolate chip cookies.
I've definitely become that person.
Yeah.
Once I figured out how to make good chocolate chip cookies, because I feel like I used to make, like, the back of the Toll House chocolate chips, which I think can be good, but I just, they turn into, like, kind of dome, you know, when the cookies are too domed and, like, crunchy and not soft and gooey. Mm-hmm. I kept making those, and I was like, I think I hate chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah.
And then I found that Bon Appetit one, and it's so good.
Yeah.
They're kind of perfect every time.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to have at least one of those recipes where you're like, this is this is going to be knockout.
Knockout. Like, crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
I used to, for one of my early improv teams, it used to be, like, a problem how much I baked for people. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember my dad being like, hey, no one's going to promote you because you baked really good cookies. Aww. Like, he was like, I love that you're doing it. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. But, like, just be you. You don't have to make these people cookies. But I had an improv team. Not that I would be promoted there, but, like, I was always baking for people. Mm-hmm. I had an improv team where I would, like, bake before people came over.
Me too.
And to the point where I forgot one time, because we would rehearse at my house. Mm-hmm. I, like, didn't have time. And one of my teammates was like, where are the cookies? And I was like, oh, no. This is supposed to be like, whoa, there's cookies here? Yeah. Not like where I was so mad.
Oh, really?
I mean, not at him, but later I was like, hey.
Yeah.
And then I, like, you know, went into a whole spiral of like, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I...
Right.
I was like, no, I set up. I was Pavlovian. Like, he was like, I'm at Katie's house. Where are the cookies?
That's funny. That's actually where I was conducting my weekly cookie experiment. Like, trying a different cookie every week for... Gossamer, my improv group.
So smart.
Yeah. And then I didn't stop doing it completely until we stopped having practice at our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, like, schedules got changed. We were gone for a while, and then we stopped practicing in our apartment. And then I didn't feel that pressure of, like, okay, like, not that I felt pressure, but I felt like...
It's not pressure. Yeah. You just, like, want to have people come into, like, a lovely environment and want them to, like, your space.
Yeah,
like,
I
totally get
to be
that.
Lit and, like,
yes. Yeah. Candles lit. Oh, do you want wine? Like, I have wine. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that feeling of, like, hosting and, like, having people over and, like, having people, like, know that I have, like, a clean space.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll make sure my room, like, the door to my room is open. And
right.
Like, snoop away. Like, it looks, I decorated. Like, it's very funny. And I was trying to explain... One of our teammates, actually, Simone gave me a ride after our mixer the other day.
Okay.
And she had, like, stuff in her car, and she'd been in my car before, and I have a fairly clean car.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, it's only on myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only, like, hard on myself for these things. I don't care if people's houses and cars are, like, messy or whatever, as long as they're not, like, disgusting. But, like...
Right.
It's only the judgment and, like, pressure on myself.
Yeah.
I've never, like, been over to someone's house and been like, no cookies. Okay. Noted.
Yeah. Like, they didn't prepare anything at all.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah.
Whereas for me, I'm like, oh, my poor roommate. I love her to death. But, she's, like, we had a succession viewing party.
Okay.
And I was like, we must make themed snacks. And, like, really brought her into my mania. And, like, she was just like, this is too much. Like, well, I've set this standard for myself, and now we have to meet it.
Yeah, it's even like if there's like a potluck type of dinner, I'm like, there have to be several dips.
Oh, absolutely.
What about appetizer, you know?
I'm also like truly insane, and I'm when someone eats whatever I've brought, I'm right there, and I'm like, so what do you think? Like, I never give an opportunity to, like, just say it to me naturally or maybe complain about it. Like, I never, I'm like, is it good? Is it better than the other cookies that were brought to the store?
Right. Yeah, I'm totally with you. I even, like, sometimes it's like I'll make too much for the amount of people who
absolutely
are coming. Not that I'm just making too much, but I have made enough for the amount of people who are coming, knowing that other people are also bringing things.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And then I'll be like, nobody ate the goat cheese dip. Nobody touched it. I was the only one. And then I'll be like, why didn't they? And I was like, oh, because you had cheese and crackers and a different kind of dip that was more prominently placed on the table.
You have to think about that. There's a great podcast called I'm Afraid That. And they talk about, like, people come on and talk about their fears. And John Early came on and talked about his fear of dinner parties.
Oh, okay.
And it was part of that, like, I don't know, the whole, like, charade of, like, freaking out over a dip. And, like, the guy who hosts it, I think Dan Zamparelli, was like, oh, one time I made these, like, Italian savory donuts. And one was filled with sardines and one was filled with, like, something else. And he was like, I put them in two bowls and then someone put them in one bowl and then I spent the whole night stressing about, like, people eating the wrong one and, like, not knowing what they were getting into. And I was like, oh my God, I so deeply relate to that. Like, I hover around my, like, snack table to explain what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't need that. We're all just having a lovely time.
Yeah. Andrew got me a book. I wish I could remember the name now. It was all about cooking and, like, the joys and of it, you mm-hmm. know? And she was talking about dinner parties, and she was like, just remember that people need to eat and are happy that you found a reason yes. to bring them together to do it.
Yes. Is it Alison Roman's book?
It's
I feel
not.
Like okay. I feel like she has a very similar like outlook that's like,
yeah.
hey, you made food for them. That's
yeah.
great. And
yeah.
then also it's like if you have to buy some of the stuff because you're like, I'm gonna make this chicken, mm-hmm. so I have to buy, you know, the dip or the cheese
yeah.
plate or whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
Like you're having your friends over. Don't put pressure on it.
Right. They're going to enjoy... They're there for you
yeah.
more than they are for the food.
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like very obvious, like very feminist and like I went to a mm-hmm. women's college and I'm like very progressive, I think. But then there's something... There's this like funny like 1950s housewife pressure that I put on myself.
Uh-huh.
Like no one is putting this pressure on me.
No,
I'm
right?
like a single person and like I'm just like, but I will host the hell out of it. And none of my
yeah.
friends are hosting these elaborate
right.
parties.
But it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I just like to, like, it's fun to, like, impress people with, like, a fun skill, which
yeah.
I think baking is, like, a great
one. Enjoy
doing. Yes. It's such an anxiety reliever, too.
Yeah.
Like, baking is, like, because I have friends who are, like, oh, I'm so bad at baking. And I'm, like, the key, like, for me, it's just following rules.
Yeah.
And you follow your steps. And, like, it's fun because the more I learn about it, the
mm-hmm.
better I get at it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you just follow the steps mm-hmm. and... That there it is. That it's nice to have like an ordered thing to do and like
yeah.
do with your hands, listen to a podcast, watch a TV show.
Mm-hmm. And it's yeah, like, it's something that really focuses your attention so that you can sort of forget about
yes,
other things
anything
that are going
else.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
And it's nice to have something to offer just in general in life, just to be like, I have cookies.
Yeah.
And I can bring cookies.
Yeah.
Like,
and something that, of course, people generally
people
love.
Are so excited about.
Yeah.
I also think, like, to circle back to this thought, like, cookies are the perfect snack.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when people are like, oh God, I couldn't have a dessert.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a cookie.
Oh,
like
yeah.
they're going to have a cookie.
Right.
Cupcakes. I'm like, don't serve that to me ever. It's
yeah.
like too much and stressful and
right.
like too much sugar. And
mm-hmm. they're a little hard to eat.
They are hard to eat.
Because I always want the icing cake in a bite, but also feel like I cannot take a bite of this
you
without
can't.
Getting it on my face.
Yes. I do the sandwich method.
Oh,
you know, where
oh,
you
right,
break
right,
off
right.
the bottom and put it on the top. But still, it's like, it's also just, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's again, I like cupcakes, but I can't even remember the last time I've had one, I don't think.
I had one recently at work, and it was, like, mm-hmm. the first in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even the idea of, like, having a slice of cake
mm-hmm.
is so, like, extravagant to me. There's something
yeah.
about, like, a lovely little handheld treat.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, so perfect. And
yeah.
cookies are not messy
yeah.
for the most part.
They're not too grand or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do, like... That's the other thing. I've been thinking about this because I watched Sugar Rush, which is a Netflix baking show.
Okay.
And they do, like, really fun cake flavors. And I was like, but you don't want to commit to, like, a fun cake flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just going to want chocolate or
right.
vanilla, whatever your standby is, because you're like, I just want... Like,
yeah.
sure, like a... banana rum cake or whatever sounds great,
mm-hmm.
but like, what about the chocolate? Like you,
yeah.
there's like the, but I feel like with cookies, you can experiment with your flavors a little bit and
yeah.
have fun flavors and not feel like you just had like, you took down like 1,000 calories of a dessert.
Right. It's like you can be done in 3 bites.
Yeah.
Like that was
fun flavor.
Yeah.
It's how I feel. Salt and Straw, like just their like seasonal
mm-hmm.
flavors.
Yes.
And I'm always like, they didn't take long enough to plan this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a whole cup of stuffing ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
I want a taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to get that flavor. I'm
yeah.
always going to go with the classics.
Yeah. I always, not always. There are some seasonal flavors. They're birthday cake and blackberry in July.
Yeah.
Best, my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get pints of it to save for the, for other months in the year,
mm-hmm.
which is never a good idea because then you're like frostbitten and not as good as they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes I'm very disappointed. I'm like, you is like Thanksgiving is like your theme.
Yeah.
And you've wasted this on mashed potatoes and
makes me mad.
Like caramelized turkey. I'm like, no. Like stick to the desserts. Like please for more.
Or like
this.
If you must do like a savory, do like a sweet potato area.
Yeah.
Like some sort of cranberry something. Mm-hmm. I guess that's not technically savory, but like there are ways to be creative without being a maniac. Like
yeah.
cornbread stuffing, I feel like would be great because you could do like a cornbread with like pecans and raisins or something, yeah, and make it close to the stuffing without, yeah, having sausage in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It is always like, oh, like I want it to be, I do want it to be good.
Yeah.
Because they have had ones like, I think it was like apple and sidecar donuts or something that. Caramel apple and sidecar donuts. Perfect.
Great.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Wonderful combination, but.
That's the beauty of a cookie, though, is you can have, like, a weird flavor. Yeah. And just like, yeah, I just wanted to taste anyways.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. And there's not as much hassle. I made a cake, which I'm going to be making again next week. It'll be Andrew's birthday. And he really liked it. It was Milk Bar's birthday cake.
Yeah.
They have the full recipe for the cake online.
Yeah.
And I've always thought about buying one of those cakes, but they're $60.
They're very expensive.
Yeah. And so I saw the recipe, and there are 5 different recipes for one cake.
Yeah, like, I got the book. Mm. My boss was like to bake, and she got me, I think I have both Milk Bar books. Mm-hmm. They're kind of hard to read, first of all, because it's not like cakes. It's like cakes is, I'm not explaining this all. So it'll be like, here's the pretzel cake or whatever. Here are all the components, but you have to like flip around to be like, here's where the, because all of their cakes have a cake recipe, an icing recipe, a crumble recipe,
yes,
and a drip that you, mm-hmm, put on, like a, like their cereal milk as a drip, mm-hmm, or like a syrup or whatever that you soak the cakes in. Right. So it's a lot, and it's like kind of like organized in a very strange, mm-hmm, way that you're like, oh, maybe this is how her notebook is organized. Like, yeah, it's like hard to follow. Mm-hmm. And all of them have like at least one hard to find ingredient.
Yes.
And you're just like,
I skipped one. Oh, I think it was glucose or something.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I'm just not gonna, I didn't know that you could buy it.
And I don't know. You can use corn syrup instead.
Well, corn syrup was another ingredient.
Oh.
So I was like, I just put a little extra corn syrup.
Yeah, I think that's,
I was like,
fine.
I'm just gonna call it there. And I was like, it tasted fine. So that's always the thing. It's like, again, like taking just like a little bit of a risk. And being like, I think this will be okay. It's like when they ask for like, because I got the Salt and Straw cookbook, and it's like powdered milk.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and like xanthan gum.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my, these are not only hard to find, but also expensive.
They're so expensive.
It's like, I wish they had like a little note, like, tell me how essential this is.
Yes.
If this is like a consistency thing, or right, like, it makes it like a little bit, like, it makes it less melty or something, like, I'll skip it.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I do know xanthan gum is for binding, because you use it in gluten-free recipes.
Okay.
If you use, like, a gluten-free flour, because it helps create, like, fake gluten.
Okay.
Rekha Shankar and I, she's a, mm-hmm, college humor person, Herald team person, wonderful person all around. Mm-hmm. She also loves to bake, and, mm-hmm, we wanted to make the corn cookies from Milk Bar, which are so good. Mm. I also find a lot of Milk Bar stuff like slightly too sweet for me, and these corn cookies are great because they're like a little bit savory.
Okay.
But we had to like find like powdered corn. And so like we had to order it online wait for it. It was like this like long awaited baking day because it was so hard to find the ingredients. It was truly insane. And finally we did it, and they were great cookies, but I was like, will we ever make these again? Yeah, I don't think so.
Probably not. It's so funny. That just reminded me of like, that's like, when Netflix was like a DVD service,
mm-hmm,
and you had to like wait several days to get the movie that you wanted to watch. It's like, no, I just want to watch it. I just want to make it right now.
You just want it now. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite season of Great British Bake Off?
I really like the one with, I think it's like the first one on Netflix, mm-hmm, with, what is her name? Margaret is like the young girl. Mm-hmm. I really like that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like Ruby with the, mm-hmm, curly hair. Not, mm-hmm, Ruby from one of the later seasons.
Yes.
Ruby with the curly hair.
Who now has a cookbook.
Yes.
Do you have it?
I don't have it. I don't have any, actually, Great British Bake Off cookbooks. Mm. Because a lot of them have cookbooks now.
Yeah. Hers is the only one I have. And I love it.
Really?
It's very, it's most of it is really about just, like, eating. And
I love that.
Yeah. And, like, it's being, like, taking all the judgment out of eating.
That's
which
great.
Which is something, you know, we're in a culture, like, not just LA, but especially Los Angeles, where it's like everything that you eat is kind of like so closely examined.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, I was just saying it with like, you don't want a whole piece of cake or whatever. I feel like it's like,
yeah,
no, right. But like, it's such a thing. Like I think about like bringing stuff into work and I'm like, well, everyone's like, you yeah. want some, so you don't want something that no one eats. So it's just yeah. like, you want something that people are going to want to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a bummer that that's like a part of our conversation mm-hmm. around it.
Yeah. And her even saying like the joy in just like a bag of chips, like a,
yeah.
like a bag of chips from the store that you loved from when you were a kid. It's like, there's something very mm-hmm. special in that, which is, so is a great book to read.
I love
like,
that.
Yeah. Especially cause we're thinking about it all the time of like, oh, like diets and what am I eating and this kind of thing. And her just being like, you can just eat.
Yeah. And just be happy.
Yeah.
And eat it.
Yeah. But yeah, great. She was great.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a new trend in cookbooks that are more like holistic and like, informational beyond just a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is a great example. Yeah. And then like salt, fat, acid, heat is yes. a really good one where it just like breaks down what food is and yeah. like why you like food. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good way of like, for the Netflix series was beautiful.
Amazing.
Like yeah. so gorgeous. And she's like the happiest, most wonderful person in yeah. the world.
I think when there's that moment where she eats some Parmesan cheese that's like been aged, she's yes. in Italy. And she starts crying, and I started crying.
I did, too. I was like, I love her.
Yeah.
And the way she's able to, like, unite so many food cultures just by breaking it down into those four elements
yeah.
is beautiful. And it makes me now think about foods that I'm eating and, like, why you like them.
Yeah.
And, like, what... And when you're cooking... Like, it does help you come up with, like, recipes of, like... Oh yeah, like it's a little too creamy, so I put yeah. some lime in it and that cuts yeah. through it and like it's so cool. Yeah. I learned how to make focaccia after I watched that oh, one because nice. It's like so gorgeous to like watch yeah. her slowly put the fingerprints yeah. in the focaccia and I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah, wow.
Love. And then like Alison Roman's books are like mm-hmm. kind of like a bigger idea, like her idea of like what it means to have people over.
Yeah.
And I think she like specifically says she doesn't like to call it dinner parties because mm-hmm. it's too stuffy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that concept. And like, mm-hmm. I listened to a podcast with her and she was like, yeah, you have to use your space. And like my kitchen's really small. So I put ice in the bathtub and put all my drinks in the bathtub.
Oh yeah.
And that's like a fun, whatever thing that I do. Cause yeah. I don't have room in my house.
Oh,
so
yeah.
like, it's really cool to have these like sorts of books that really break stuff down.
Yeah. Yeah. That just reminded me of, cause she had that guide in the New York Times that was about like cooking Thanksgiving dinner in a very
oh,
small
yeah.
kitchen. And it made me think like, you have a very small kitchen.
Yeah.
You have a very
she
small
did,
apartment.
She did a kitchen tour and it was like maybe a little bigger than mine, mm-hmm. but still like small. And you could
yeah.
see that she had really utilized all the space.
Mm-hmm.
And it has made me think about, because, like, now that I'm, like, solidifying myself as a person who likes to bake and cook,
uh-huh.
people always want to, like, family members are like, oh, what kind of things do you want? What kind mm-hmm. of gadgets do you need? And because I don't have a ton
oh,
of space,
yeah.
I'm like, it can't be a single-use item.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to buy, like, a cherry pitter or whatever. You know what I mean? It has to have multiple uses or else it's not going to last in my kitchen.
Yeah. Do you have anything, like, on your Christmas list this year that's...
I have a lot of cookbooks on my list. Mm-hmm. I want Maddie Matheson's and Alison Roman's new one.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more I think that I'm forgetting now. Carla Lolly Music, because I really love her. She's
okay.
a Bon Appetit
mm-hmm.
chef, and she's
okay.
just, like, fun and cool. I don't think I'm asking for anything. Last year I got a baking scale,
yes.
which, game changer, was
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
Because... everyone should only be cooking in grams. Like,
right.
as soon as I got one, I was like, what are we doing here? Because I'm the most imprecise measurer
yeah.
in the world. And it's just also, it's easier. Because, you know, when you're like, oh, man, my scoop is too big for the jar of whatever. And then mm. I have to do a little scoop and I lost track
yeah.
of how many I put in. Like, it's so much easier to
yeah.
just put it. It's like, it's not as fussy as I thought it was going to be. It's
yeah.
so easy. Everything's so precise. I love it. I'm
yeah.
obsessed. And I also got an oven thermometer,
mm-hmm.
which is huge.
Yeah.
Because my oven doesn't tell you when it's preheated.
Oh.
So I never know when it's warm enough. And it runs slightly hotter
okay.
than the dial.
Mm.
So I now know to set it slightly lower.
Yeah.
Because I was like burning stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And mine is only probably like 15 to 20 degrees off. Mm-hmm. But people have like 50 degrees off.
Oh my goodness.
And you have no idea unless you get, and they're like $8. I don't know why I never got one for myself. You just hang it in your oven. I mean, there's much more like high tech ones that you can like hang in your oven and have a little readout or whatever. But mine is just like a analog thermometer that I just hang in my oven.
That's
great. It's great.
Yeah. That's great. I feel like, well, one thing is that, because Andrew and I are getting married next year, so I feel like as far as kitchen stuff goes, I'm a little bit like, I guess maybe I don't ask for anything for Christmas and just wait until...
Put it on that registry.
Yeah.
Do you have big ticket items you're thinking of?
Okay, so I want a KitchenAid mixer.
My parents got me, that was a gift I got one year. I did get a small one, which is fine, and then mostly what I need, but I was like... Can't wait to get a big one.
Putting on the registry. Yeah, that and let's see. That's definitely the biggest. Oh, I have a small food processor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 3 or 4 cups. So it's pretty small, but like a bigger one.
I also have a similar dream. Yes.
Yeah. And the other, like a set of knives.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I have
one big knife and it's not that good. I don't know what's wrong with it. I was like, you've never... been very sharp.
I like
this is probably like an $8 knife from Target or something. Yeah.
I like that's a goal of mine to get better at my knife skills. I don't think I'm very good with a knife.
Yeah.
I'm kind of slow.
Yeah, I know that I use a bread knife, not like a butter knife, but like the serrated.
Like a serrated knife. Yeah.
Yeah. For things that I should not be using it for.
Like truly. Every time in a Bon Appetit video, they're like, this is what you should do with your knives. Like, always make sure you sharpen them and, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best out here.
Right. Yeah. So those are, I guess, kind of the...
Those are some good ones.
Yeah.
I have an immersion blender that I use instead of my food processor because mine's so small that it's just, like, I hate it.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, a pain to clean and I've had to, like, do little teeny batches of pesto or whatever I'm trying to make.
Right. Yeah, I always do, like, as soon as you put garlic in the food processor, it's like, well, now it's just, like, the garlic is just lining the walls.
Yes, and,
I feel like I need one of those garlic press.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, it's a single-use item. It's like, well, I can use the food processor, or I can, like, cut it off myself.
I want a mandolin, even though I'm a little afraid of them. The, like, slicers.
Yes, I have one, and Andrew and I both... cut ourselves using them.
Yeah. You can get like an iron glove or like a mesh glove.
Well, it has like a safety thing where it's like this plastic thing where you like, it's like, don't use your hand to do it. It's like, put the plastic thing on and then do it with that. But then of course, like you're in a rush and then you're doing like, you're like trying to slice a vegetable that just doesn't really like fit very well with the plastic thing. And then your finger gets kind of sliced and... You regret terrifying. Ever using it or ever buying it.
It's really terrifying.
Yeah. You think about like, oh, maybe I should just get rid of this thing.
But it's the only way to cut things thin.
Yeah.
A lot of Bon Appetit recipes lately have been calling for thin sliced garlic. And it's impossible to do by hand. Yeah. Like, I do my best, but it's just like really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't use that plastic cover for garlic.
No, it's no.
Too
teeny.
Too teeny. Yeah. Yep, I think going back to Great British Bake Off for just a second, I love the season with Nadia.
Love her. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I will say, I've talked about this with some friends, sometimes I feel that it's a little racist how they say, oh, you're great with flavor.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's always a baker of color who uses flavors that are not typically English. Mm. And they're like, you just are really like out, like... crazy with flavor and like and it's very interesting like the slightly coded way that these two older British people do it but yes I love Nadia so much
her well she's just like maybe one of like the purest people I've ever seen on like any sort of television show like scripted or not and then when she's crying at the end. Oh my goodness.
She's so good.
Yeah.
I also loved Nancy when Nancy won.
Yes.
Nancy was great. She has like the best attitude during baking because she just was like, huh, that's not supposed to happen. Like she just like, oh, yeah. Well, better not panic. Like that's why she won because she had that amazing skill from like decades of baking where she could be like, oh, this isn't supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Here's how I fix it. Or like this, I definitely have to start over. Or here's how I salvage it. Like she just like knows her stuff so inside and out to the point where like, she wasn't really measuring anything because she could just do it all by eye and then adjust as she went. Like, so good.
Yeah.
I love her. And she has, like, a really sweet Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta follow her.
She, like, makes videos, like, about baking that are, like, sort of, like, kind of unprofessional, but, like, in a lovely, sweet way.
Oh, that's great. Was that the same season that Andrew, the redheaded Irish?
I believe so.
He's also. There's always, like, a very, like, very darling, like
sweet person. Boy.
Yeah.
Then you should definitely watch some of the newer seasons because like the latest season has like four of the sweetest boys you'll ever see. Aww. It's so cute. Two of them are dating now. It's they're just like really sweet British boys who bake. And it's so cute.
That's great. I'm trying to remember other characters that I love. What is her name? She's very, it's on the same season, I think, as that, like, old Scottish man who only ever does the basics.
Oh, Ian? Or is his name Ian? What is his name?
I can't remember.
He made the tart de citron, I remember that, like, so clearly. And they're like, well, okay, so it has to be perfect.
Yeah, who always made, like...
Oh, no, Ian was the one who threw his thing in the bin.
In the bin, which was the... It's crazy because Great British Bake Off, of course, is, like, a comfort show.
Yeah.
And Andrew and I were, like, going through the seasons, and we watched that episode, and we had to watch a comfort show after that, and it's so funny
because... it's so stressful.
Yeah.
I love how British they are. They're like, well, you really lost your temper there. Like, they're just like, okay, and he, like, barely lost his temper.
Yeah.
It is just sad, because it's like, if he had at least presented, like, the cake and, like, the melted ice cream, he could have probably stayed.
Yeah,
but it's just, like... so sad.
Yeah.
They're just like, well, you really showed emotion there.
Yeah. It's like, and like, because of the tone of the show, I think I too was like, no, he threw away his baked Alaska. Yeah.
He was understandably very upset.
Yeah. There was a Reductress headline about that. Something about moments, like, growing up that are stressful, but not as stressful as the time Ian threw his baked Alaska in the bin.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah. So, well, Katie, it's been great having you on.
This has been
so
lovely.
We've got to continue talking about baking.
I could talk about it forever.
I know, and we could go on for another hour, but we won't. We'll talk about it off
air.
Off mic, yeah. So, well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me.
Have a great holiday season.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.